And good morning. Happy Easter. Welcome to Bay Springs Baptist Church. And we're just going to give everybody a minute or two to come on and line up and be on here with us. So it's just good to see everybody. And I hope you're having a great day. And we're going to celebrate his resurrection this morning. So just kind of going to pause for a minute or two. Go grab your cup of coffee or whatever gets you going this morning. I want to make sure everybody's here. We should have a fairly large crowd today because we're hearing all kinds of different stories of people coming on and being on and being part of it. So if you are, if you're up and running, if you want to tag me, I would love to hear that you're up and running so we know we have some people online. Looks like we have quite a few online here with us, which is good to see everybody. Feel free to text me and let me know, and then we're going to get started officially in about 20, 30 seconds. I haven't had sleep tonight or last night or whatever, and I've been up all night. And, hey, here they come. Here we're on. Okay. Oh, wonderful. Oh, good. That's awesome. I love this connection where we get the people who are there. And I'm going to kind of put this on silence right now so it doesn't. Don't forget to turn it off later. But I'm glad you're on. And wow. I just got a text that my boss is on. So hi, Dr. Ferris. Good to see you. And I hope things are going well. I appreciate you being here. Fantastic, man. They're just coming like crazy. Okay. Wonderful. I want you to end up getting to your Bibles this morning. If I fall asleep during my own sermon, don't get mad at me because I have not been asleep. I've been up all night and just could not sleep last night. I just my mind going 10,000 miles an hour, and some nights are just times that it doesn't shut down. So I did some wisdom yesterday and understood after I watched the show from Friday night that having the piano and doing the piano from this kind of situation does not work well. The sound wasn't very good, so I apologize for that. But that's not going to keep us from celebrating. I just want to start off, and you feel free to sing from right there in your own home, but because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And that whole, that chorus of that song tells everything that we need to know about the celebration of Easter, of the empty tomb. I want to let you know that this may be an Easter that you will never forget because of this. And you know, we spoke Friday night about how I end up having to go into work and answering all the questions of when you're down there at Texas Children's Hospital. As you're entering in, they'll ask you all the questions. They have a nurse there, and they'll say, have you been within 150 miles? And have you been around anybody that has the COVID-19? And do you have any of the symptoms and all of that? Then they give you this little band, and you put the band on. Another thing that I didn't share with you that after you have the band, then you get to go up to your location where you want to go. And then if you have a badge, you can go through and swipe the badge, and then they will give you a little bag. And in this bag is something that's supposedly going to help you solve the problems of what's going on in the world. And this seems to be where we're at this Easter. And I don't know about you, but this is a temporary solution for a temporary problem. Today, Jesus Christ being out of that grave and us celebrating that is more than just a temporary solution for a temporary problem. You know, hold on right there. I have here in my house, I have garbage. And it is kind of neat when you're in a penthouse like this. You just set the garbage outside the door, and every day they come by and they'll pick this up. But, you know, this is stuff that, you know, my dinner last night, Pringles, this is stuff that I want to get rid of in my life. And it wouldn't make sense for me to go grab garbage and just put it from the counter or around the sink or the stove or around my recliner and just put it in the trash can and then just leave it here. I want to get the trash removed. So it's a temporary solution, this trash can, to the problem that I have with the trash. Here's McDonald's, and yes, I went by McDonald's. Coming home from work yesterday. Now, let's pretend and let's focus and use the trash as a symbolism of sin in our life. A lot of people deal with sin and we feel guilty or we feel remorse or we feel bad because we did something or said something to the wrong person and upset them or just was not very nice to certain people or had an attitude or whatever it is. And we'll put those bad actions in a can like this, maybe in a piece of our heart, in a place of our heart, and then we'll kind of just set it aside. And we'll still have the bad feelings, but it's all still right here. I want to show you today, as we get into God's Word, and if you want to, I would love to have you join me, but get into your Bibles in Matthew 28. And I'll let you find that. So go ahead and find that. Let's get another a sip of coffee, but go ahead and find that. Matthew 28. Don't trust my word for this. Okay, find it in your own Bible. And I sure hope today, while you're looking in your Bibles for it, it's the first chapter in the New Testament, Matthew 28. Find it on your phone or whatever. It's amazing technology we have. But I hope Charlie and Karen are on today. We miss you. I hope Doris Allen is on today. I miss you. Jean, I know Jean Pritchard's there. Just got a text from April and Brett saying that she's there. So it's great to have you. There's so many people that are part of our family that we just need to lift up in prayer. And as we enter in, before I read this scripture, I just want to let you know, I hope you're here. And I hope you get to hear from our hearts that Easter 2020 may may be different than what you've experienced. It may be an Easter you will never forget. But I want to let you know that Matthew 28 tells us of an Easter you better always remember. And there's a difference. And I want to show you that difference. Matthew 28, verse 1, I hope you're reading along with me, and it goes something like this. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, you remember, Friday night we talked about the first earthquake that had to deal with Jesus' death. That first earthquake was while he was hanging on the cross. And you remember he said those words. When he said those words, the earth shook and the veil tore from top to bottom. We talked about the veil. We talked about that drape, that curtain that separated people from the presence of God. We talked about that. And because of his death, it ripped, giving us straight access into the presence of God himself through Jesus Christ, through his death. So I want you to see, this is the second earthquake. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended upon from heaven. So possibly it said for an angel, maybe the angel when he landed caused the earthquake, who knows, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and then the angel sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women that were coming up, the Mary and Mary, "Don't be afraid, fear not. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and indeed, he's going before you into Galilee." Now, you've heard sermons on this time after time after time, and this is probably the most difficult sermon this in Christmas to even talk about, not because we don't have a wonderful story, but to share it in a way that maybe you have never heard it before. But sometimes you just need to go down to the bare truth and try not to fancify it. You've heard this illustration that the angel moved the stone, but I want to let you know, the angel moved the stone out of the front of the tomb, not to let Jesus out, because he was already out. He went in, he was dead, he was buried, and then he came out. He didn't need that stone moved. The angel moved the stone for the purpose of Mary and Mary to go in and see that he was truly gone. Same way when Peter and John, when they tell Peter and John, hey, he's risen. They went running, and there was a track race all the way to the tomb, and they found out that, yes, he was risen. And the tomb, the stone was moved out of the way, and they ran right into the tomb full force. And it says, he's risen from the dead, and indeed he's going before you into Galilee. There you're going to see him. Behold, I have told you. So they quickly went out from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell Jesus, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice, for they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and they will see me there." That's the Easter story. That's what it's all about. Now, I want you to, if you can, maybe in the margin of this, and I use this periodically over my 30-some years of being in the ministry, punctuations. And I change what I want you to remember the punctuations by. But in this story, today, 2020, April 2020, I want you to put a comma for what this day means to us. That this is a different day. That it's not a period, it's a comma. Just to pause and reflect what's going on in our world, what's going on in your life, what's going on with internet church services and us not being able to be all together in the same room. But it's just a comma. It's just a temporary place where we're in, dealing with a temporary problem. This, via internet, is a temporary solution for that COVID-19. And it may last for a few more weeks. I'm hoping and praying that we're back up by May 1st, May 15th, June 1st. I hope everything's out of the way and we have our country back in order. But it's a temporary fix for a temporary problem. So it's just a comma, Easter 2020. But then I want to express to you quotations. And the quotation is, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" The angel asked them that question. Why are you here? Seeking live things among the dead. And that is a perfect question for us to ask each of us. We do so many things that mean absolutely nothing, and we're seeking to get life out of it. And I think if anything that will be good that comes out of this COVID-19, and I'm just kind of whispering to you here, I truly believe we're going to come out stronger, we're going to come out better, our country is going to come out more in line, more in unity, our church is going to come out with more in line, more in unity with what God wants. I think we're going to be a better people on the other side of this. The angel asked the question, quotation marks, why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? Why are we trying to get things in our life that has no substance, no meaning, and you're looking at it and looking for it in cemeteries, in graveyards? Why is that? You know, I wrote a book that I'm looking for. Sorry. I wrote a book early on in my ministry, Body Bag Religion. And I said, wouldn't it be the first line in the book, wouldn't it be the greatest tragedy in life to wake up one morning dead and realize that you've never lived? Think about that. That's exactly what the angel was asking Mary and Mary. Why are you searching for living things amongst the dead? That's a question, a quotation that you need to hear for yourself today too. And then an exclamation point in your margin, right there where it says, "He is not here. He is risen." He's not dead anymore. He's alive and well. Hallelujah. That's what Easter's all about, right there. We had Good Friday. We had all the bleakness of the death and the crucifixion and the pain and the betrayal and the trials that were so wrong and the beatings and the nails in his hands and feet and the spear in his side and the agony of his father turning away. And then we have Easter. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Then, I want you to put a question mark in the margin there by the Bible, there in your Bible. And this is a question that I have for you, that I think we have for each of us this morning. So what? What's the significance of this day? So what? What's it mean? What's the real truth? Temporary solution for a temporary problem. This represented sin, and we had a temporary solution for a permanent problem of sin. We try to hide it away. But if I never take that trash out, I'll still have it. So what? Easter is a permanent solution for a permanent problem. Jesus, when he said, he was specifically, he was still in his right mind enough. When he said those three words, it is finished, from the cross. I want to lean in here with you. He didn't say, he is finished. He said, it is finished. He was just getting started. He was just getting started. He coming out of that grave gives us new life. It divides AD and BC in time. It divides, it tells us how we're even writing our checks today. We're writing April 12th, 2020. That 2020 goes all the way back to BC and AD in time. Because of this moment in history, everything changes. There's a permanent solution for a permanent problem in your life. And let me just tell you, I want to just open up my balcony here and get out on the balcony and scream to Houston, he's alive. This is the solution to the problem. Him. All the problems that each of us have, everybody that's listening right now, he's the solution. I had a coworker tell me that, hey, they may be listening into the program today. And I said, well, I tell you, I can't compete with what's going on down the street with Lakewood. This morning they have Joel, they have Tyler Perry, they have Kanye West, they have Mariah Carey, and all this fancy music. But then I went, dot, 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 dot. I can't compare. But on second thought, it's going to be me and Jesus on Sunday morning. Hands down, we win. With Jesus, we have it all. We have the permanence of a solution to that problem that we all so desperately need. So that's so what? I want to kind of let you know, and we're just going to go through these real quick. I don't even know what time it is. I know I've been rambling, but we're doing good. Wow, look at all the people. Unbelievable. Colossians 1:14 says this. And that answers the question, so what? Why celebrate this day? Colossians 1:14, Christ bought our freedom with his blood. What does that mean? What does that mean that Christ set me free? From what? From what? Well, first thing, from guilt, from my past. I don't know about you, but I have guilt for what I've done, who I am, what I say, how I act, what I do wrong, and what I don't do that I should have done. There's guilt involved in that. Guilt is the number one destroyer of happiness. If you're not happy, if you don't have joy, I want to tell you what, chances are there's something in your life that you're angry, you're bitter, you have guilt for, that you just need to get rid of it. Get rid of it. And here's some verses on how to get rid of it and have and to live a guilt-free life. Ephesians 1:7. By the death of Christ, we are free. That is, our sins are forgiven. The trash has been taken out. I don't have to sleep with this anymore. I don't have to sit by it anymore. I don't have to smell or even resemble any of that junk that's in there. It has been taken away, and I am free from that. And in that freedom, the guilt is automatically lifted. What we end up doing is we listen to the wrong voice. We listen to the devil, and he keeps telling you, you're not worth this. You don't deserve that. God didn't die and send his son to die for you because you're worthless. And I know there's times that I look into the mirror and I still have that junk from the past that tells me so many times I am worthless. But I want to let you know, this day should remind me and everybody else that you are a masterpiece. You are valuable, priceless. And there's a song that I love to sing called The Masterpiece, I believe. He paints a picture of our life. And then he signs his name in the corner of that masterpiece of your life. And he signs it in his blood. Because of his blood, we are free from that guilt. I use this verse also every time I baptize somebody because I love this verse. It's Colossians 3:14. He has canceled every record of the debt we owe. Every sin, he cancels it out. What do we have because of sin? We deserve hell. We deserve death. Because he died and came back to life, he cancels out and he wins over sin. And it says, he has canceled every record of the debt we owed. Christ has done away with all of it by nailing every one of those sins to the cross. Colossians 3:14. Is that not beautiful? So what? I can be free from my guilt from the past. One more verse in this. Romans 8:1. Write this one down. There's no condemnation awaiting those who belong to Jesus Christ. No more condemnation. I claim that verse, and I try to claim that verse every day. There's days I have relapses, but I want to let you know, it's not because I don't trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, but sometimes I let my head get too involved in this, and I need to lean in with my heart and just believe in Jesus Christ. Take that gift that he gave on this day to us. He not only died, he rose again. And I need to remember the saying that somebody said, some preacher, some theologian, or just some author, I can't remember. Christ didn't come to this earth to make bad people good. Christ came to this earth to make dead people live. And the only way you can get that is in a belief in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. So we get, why? Who cares? So what? We get to live free from our guilt of our past. Number two, Christ wants to set me free from my worry for the future. Are you worried right now? Do you have anxiety right now? I think there's a lot of people that have been laid off, furloughed, anticipating pay decreases, anticipating having to experience the business that they were working in or own going down, and they're going to have to make some tough decisions. I want to let you know that Jesus Christ wants to set you free from that worry of the future. He is still in control of everything in this world, whether it has the label COVID-19 on it or not. He is in control. There's no doubt in my mind. I know that. So trust in him and let him set you free about the worry of your future. 1 Peter 1:2 is a good verse. Goes like this. 1 Peter 1:2. God's Spirit has been at work in your heart through Jesus Christ. May God grant you increasing freedom from your anxiety and fear. Cast your cares on him. When you start worrying, if it's worth worrying about, I promise you, listen to this, lean in if you have to. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. It's worth praying about. Let Jesus, because of Easter, release you of that worry of your future. He has it in control. I promise you that, no matter what. Another verse, Philippians 4:13. I'm ready for anything through the strength of Jesus who lives in me. What's the secret of a worry-free life? What's the secret of that? Secret. It's not a hidden secret. Is trust your future in Christ. That's how you get past it. You trust in him. No matter what, you put it all in him. And you notice the angel said, fear not. And you've heard this too, so I don't want to, but if you're new to Faith Springs or you're new to hearing me speak, I'll repeat it. Don't fall asleep on me, my church members, but they claim that there's 365 fear nots in the Bible. That's one for every day of our life, during the year of our life. It's one fear not for every day of each part of the year of our life. God's saying, get the message? Don't be afraid. Don't worry. I'll handle it. If you trust me. So the first one you get, so what? You get to get rid of the guilt from your past. You get to be free from the worry of your future. And the third thing is Christ can set me free from living without a purpose today. I want to let you know that everybody listening here today has a purpose. You have been designed. You have a game plan. You have a blueprint of what God wants to use you for that only you can do. And you get to be set free from living without a design because you're going to trust in him and start following him. Now, some people try to find and think that they are designed for seeking pleasure. And you go out and try everything that you can to get pleasure. But I want to let you know, that won't make you happy eternally. It's going to come up empty someday. Then some people try to find their design and their destiny in life by prestige, power. That's going to leave you short too. Now, kids, if there's any kids listening, I hope they are. I hope all the kids are around the computer and lean in. Let me tell you, if you're trying to figure out what you want to do with your life in college, what career you want, what man you want to marry, what woman you want to become boyfriend, girlfriend with to spend the rest of your life with. What should your major be in college how are you bent and how are you wired, I want to kind of let you know that the best way to find that is to seek God and His will. And parents, let them seek God and His will for them. You were designed to bring them into the world, but you are not designed to ramrod your will through them for the rest of their life. Take a step back, parents, and let them guide them, but don't push them. Guide them, because we have a destiny for each of us. There's a reason for each one of those sets of beautiful eyes that are watching this morning. They are there. It's there for you. Don't come running up to me and say, oh, Greg, what's God's will for me? I'm going to point you towards the Bible, towards Him. But kids, it's there. Older folks, if you don't know what your purpose in life is, seek God, because it's there. And I don't take this lightly, because finally, after 54 years, the last 2 years, I found the purpose for my life. When everything started to crumble around me, when I lost everything that I really cared about, I realized that the only thing I should care about is my Lord and Savior. Put Him number one, and then everything else, the church, my family, then maybe my work. Everything else will fall into place. So I get to be set free. So what? Because of Easter, I get to be set free of living without a purpose, because He died for me, for me to live for Him. And that's what it's all about. Some people try to find it in all this stuff and pleasure, popularity, and prestige, and power, and possessions. All this stuff's going to fade away. Now, there's that line that the one who dies with the most toys still dies. So it gets to set me free of living without a destiny. You can have it today if you choose to follow Him. And I have a feeling, look at my time here, I have a feeling that there's people online that's listening right now to my voice that have no clue what Easter's all about. Have no clue about the significance of it. That's why I decided to go with this. So what? You get to be free from your guilt of your past. You get to be free from the worrying about your future. And you get to be free from living without a destiny today. You have a destiny. And you're free now to find that if you will believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ephesians 2:10, you are God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus to live the good life as He meant for us to live. There it is. That's our destiny. And Acts 20:24, life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how many people that are out there that are doing stuff day after day after day, work after work after work, and they have no purpose in any of that, no design in any of that, because it has nothing to do with what God wants them to do. If you're just frazzled, stressed out, filled with anxiety, you have fear, you have hopelessness, chances are you're not following God's will for your life. Accept Him. Fall in love with Him, because He loved you so much that He came and died on the cross. If you were the only person ever created, He would have done that just for you. But don't leave it there. He also during those days was buried. And today, we celebrate him coming out of that grave just for you. You are now free from the life without a destiny. Find it in him. I love that. Acts 20:24. And look it up in every version you can, because it's just going to blow your socks off. Life is worth nothing unless I use it for the work that God, Jesus Christ, has given and assigned to me. So now in the last couple of years, I know what the purpose of my life is. I know what it is. All those other years, I must have been trying to fit the mold, listen to people whisper in my ear, oh, this is what we need to do, Greg. But the last 2 years, I finally got it all together. Even though I don't look like anybody that's got it all together, I finally got it all together. And there's no greater joy than knowing every day when you wake up that you're going to go out and accomplish one more thing that God has designed for you to accomplish. And it has brought a smile to my face that isn't just here, but let me tell you, it's attached to my heart. There's a joy inside of me that only comes, and I'm crying because of joy. I wasted so many years of my life, but now I know why I'm here. Why I'm here. And I found my purpose. I found my destiny. I found my design. I found my blueprint. Please, please use this Easter, this little internet broadcast, to help you find yours. And it's in Jesus. It's in believing in his resurrection and accepting that. That's what it's all about. And the last thing, and then I'm going to close your eyes. So what of Easter? The last thing is Jesus is setting me free and can set me free. Setting me free of trying to earn my way into heaven. It's impossible. I can't do it. But he's setting me free from that. Colossians 2:20. Christ has set you free from following the world's idea of how to be saved by doing good and obeying rules. He sets us free from that. That's the world's idea. That's the legalistic approach. That's religion's approach. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And then if you pass the muster, welcome in, my son, my daughter, into heaven. But if not, shoot. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You're banished into eternal damnation in hell. That's the world's idea. That's not God's, because God says, for I so loved you that I sent my son, that if you believe in him, you will have everlasting life. If you just believe in him, you get to have that in the presence of him and his son, the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. You get to have all of that in heaven forever if you'll just believe in me. And the reason he did it was he didn't feel guilty. He didn't feel like he made any mistakes. He didn't feel all of this stuff. He didn't feel pressured from the angels. He did it because God so loved. He loved you. People tell me they love me, and then they run away. They tell me they care, and I turn around, and they're not there anymore. They tell me they care, but then when I don't do something exactly the way they wanted me to do it, run off. My own father stopped calling me his son when the abuse stopped. I never heard that again. But I will let you know, God so loved you. Folks, it doesn't get any better than that. I can do a cliff note real quick on the Bible's definition of heaven. You ready for it? Heaven's a perfect place. Number two, you have to be perfect to get there. The only way we can be perfect is to accept Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross for all of those sins. And then when we die and get into heaven, get into that judgment, get into those gates, and they're asking, we say, Gregory, Alan, Williams, and we're to go forward and stand there. Yes, Lord? And the Son, Jesus, is going to say, Dad, he's with me. He believed in me. And the Father will see nothing but Christ's blood and the perfection of that. And the sacrifice has already been made for that. And I get entrance into heaven. Without that, he's going to see all my imperfections. Without that, he's going to see all my sins, all my mistakes, all my wrong attitudes, all my wrong choices from the day I was born to the day I died. But with Jesus and believing in him, he's going to look at me and say, well done, my son. You did it. You believed. You accepted the gift. And you did not only just listen to it, you opened it up and you applied it to your life. You was there. You did it. Thank you. Come on in. Heaven has been designed just for you. Welcome. I can't wait. That's what the glory and the happiness and everything about Easter is all about. There it is, right there. I do not have to earn one thing in my life. Romans 4:4. You don't earn the right to heaven. It is a gift. If a person could earn it by being good, then it wouldn't be free, but it is. Wow. It's a gift. It's a gift that only comes from believing in Jesus Christ. In Romans 6:23, and I'm going to stop. I'm probably about out of time. No, in close. Romans 6:23, the free gift of God is eternal life. Wow. Remember? Temporary fix for a temporary problem. Having sin right here and not dealing with it is a temporary fix for a permanent problem. Having Jesus Christ in your heart and your life is a permanent fix for the permanent problem of sin. And you can only get it through by believing in him. It's as simple as the ABCs. And I would be so ridiculously out of my mind to not explain how to get to heaven and to accept Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday morning. It's ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. Even though I have that once a year jacket on, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross that we spoke about Friday night and rose from the dead that we're celebrating today in what the world calls Easter. The word Easter isn't in the Bible. Admit you're a sinner. Believe in Jesus. And C, confess your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And let's throw a D in there. Decide to do it. Just decide to do it. And let's throw an E in there. Everybody needs to make this decision. Let's throw an F in there. And it'll last forever, the forgiveness that you receive from the G, God. And you will get to reach the H, heaven, if you'll just do it. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Have you ever asked him to come into your heart? It's simple. And please don't be offended. It's not a pre-written prayer, but it's a simple prayer. All you have to do is say right now, and I really want you to say it out loud because there's power in the words of just say, "Dear God, I believe in Jesus and the gift that you gave me. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he rose out of the grave. And I accept him as my Lord and Savior to forgive me of all my sins. Make me a child of yours." Amen. If you've done that, please text me 832-396-6525. And let me know. I want to celebrate with you. I want to send you some stuff. I want to be able to rejoice with you, with everybody else, and say, "Wow, Easter was special, very special to these people. They accepted him finally." Don't waste a day, because we're living in the world that you need this. Or it could hurt you. Don't waste a day, because we never know if we have another day left. I want to let you know, if we don't, I know exactly where my next breath's going to be. And I hope you do too. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Let's have a word of prayer before we close out this morning. Dear Lord, thank you that you are alive and well. I thank you that grave is still empty. I thank you that according to your word, and I believe every word of it, that you are at the right hand of your Father right now in heaven. And you have sent to us a comforter, a power source called the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that. Lord, thank you for what this day represents. So what? Lord, I get to be free from all the garbage, all the sin, all the stuff that's happened to me in my life. I get to be free from that. Lord, may every person that's listening to this have the same assurance that they are heaven bound if their next breath is in your presence. Lord, please let decisions be made. Let the Holy Spirit move. Thank you. Thank you for Good Friday. Thank you for the cross. But Lord, thank you for the victory over death of the empty grave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here this morning. May you have a blessed Easter weekend with your family. And if you need somebody to talk to, need somebody to pray with, if you made a decision, I'm right here. Give me a call. I would love to hear from you. Text me, email me, whatever. But reach out, and I want to help you with that decision. I want to see some stuff. We give you thanks for coming. Thank you all the people for being here. I love the church. I love our church. I love my family and friends, and I just can't wait till we be back together in the same building. And let me tell you, it's going to happen soon. And if it doesn't, and we all get raptured away, we're all going to be in the same room again anyway. And it'll be called heaven. God bless you. Have a happy Easter. And thank you so much for joining us. God bless.